Vanity Project. C'est la vie. Vanity Project. Quiet please, it's a Vanity Project with James and Bridie.
Hello everybody and welcome to Vanity Project, the project where James Colley and I screw up our Spotify algorithms by listening to a whole bunch of albums from Hollywood A-listers who decided that they needed to share their musical talents with the world. Hello, James.
Hello, Bridie. Thank you so much for having me on this episode. I say thank you even though I'm the co-owner of the show, I suppose, but it is a pleasure to be on every time.
It is a pleasure. She said with not much conviction in her voice, some weeks we have listened to some delightful albums and some weeks we have listened to some of the most confusing auditory experiences of my life. But I am thrilled not only for the album we are reviewing today, but for our very special guest who's joining us. James, who is it?
We have with us Tom Cardy. Thank you so much, Tom.
Hey, no worries. It's really, really nice to be back, guys.
Musician, comedian, raconteur. I forget what raconteur means, but it sounds really cool.
It's a rat that prepares food.
Tom, you're a musical genius, so we're very excited that you're lending your ears to this project today. James, what album are we listening to?
We are listening to Christopher Lee's 2010 album, Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross, not to be confused with Christopher Lee's other Charlemagne album, which I'm sure we will all tackle together at another point.
Oh, what a treat.
Can I say, just right off the bat, you guys tempted me with this because I love metal. I love heavy metal. I love everything metal under the sun. And you said, this is metal. And then I listened to it a bit. And then I looked. And did you know the other Charlemagne album is written by Judas Priest guitarist? Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. That's sick. That excites me. This one, not as much metal in it, to be honest. Okay.
Well, I will stop you there, Tom Cardy.
Yeah, school me, Bridie, on metal.
We didn't say it was metal. Christopher Lee said it was metal.
No. Okay,
and then several reviewers and critics have disagreed with them. But it is not our place to question the artist.
I'm going
to
put this out immediately because I think niches are very important, and I think that it's wonderful for creators to have a niche and to communicate and have feedback. And I think, you know, people who listen to things and have a niche, they feel kind of seen when they like listen to something they love and other people love. So any qualm I have with this is your fault, both of you. I will not say a single thing bad about this, but all the anger that might come your way, it's for you two for dragging me into this.
I accept full responsibility.
I accept none of it, but you don't understand the bait and switch we're playing here. Oh, you want to get to the good album, Tom Cardy? Well, prepare Andy Dufresne to wade through shit so you can get there.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh, there it is. Legally binding.
Would you like to hear how Christopher Lee himself announced this album?
More than anything.
Oh. We are bringing out an album. Symphonic metal. Many, many of you were nervous already because of the thousands and thousands and thousands, 750,000 hits on the internet, and you have listened to small excerpts from this particular album. This album is called Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross, which was indeed his, well, you can't say motto, really, his emblem, by the sword and the cross.
He said four words. How fucking slow does that cunt speak?
Honest to God, that is a 6-minute video that I thought, what's the one sentence we can get through fastest of this? But it does give us a good heads up on the album. This is not an album in which ideas are expressed quickly. Brevity is not the fandom of Christopher Lee.
Sure. No, it sure is an album that continues for quite a while. I will say that at the outset. I think it's also good, though, that we heard a bit of his beautiful, plummy speaking voice because we also get an idea of his age. So I think we should start by having a chat about who Christopher Lee is. A lot of our listeners will know him. Maybe some won't. What do you think of when you think Christopher Lee? James Cotley.
Well, I think Count Dooku, obviously, and then I think Saruman, which is, I'm sure, how he wants his career to rank. It'll be Count Dooku, Saruman, Dracula if you're pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, was he Dracula?
He was.
He sorry, I should explain. He was the real Dracula, which they based the book character on.
he was Nosferatu, that's fair.
What about you, Tom? When you hear the words Christopher Lee, what springs to mind?
I'm straight to Saruman. Yeah. I didn't even really watch The Lord of the Rings or anything, but I just know him from that. And to be honest, slow speaking voice. I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah, I feel the same. So I'm not a huge Lord of the Rings person, but I know that he was the massive Lord of the Rings guy. I know he's the one member of the Lord of the Rings cast to meet Tolkien, and I realized that he thought he would be Gandalf his whole career. Aww. Then when it came to be made, he's like, I'm the evil one, aren't I? I'm definitely the evil one.
But that's the thing. When I think of Christopher Lee, I think of villains. So I would never think of Gandalf because he played Dracula. he's been a villain in so many movies. He's been a James Bond villain. Saruman, like, that's, you know, that's kind of great. And it sort of fits with now this, like, slide into symphonic metal territory. That's so hectic.
Is Charlemagne a villain?
Well, that's a matter of personal history. Like, we're not here to cancel Charlemagne just yet.
He's had it too good.
Soon.
Yeah.
But I promise you, let's just lean ahead with this. As the child of Saxon men, I will be cancelling Charlemagne at some point in this recording.
Whoa.
I can see it now. The Pedestrian article next week. Tom Cardy cancels Charlemagne.
What is he going to do? He can't do shit.
Well, he can't defend himself.
Mm.
The Charlemagne 2 movement kicks off on this podcast.
Thrilled. Okay, well, having said all of those connotations that spring to mind when we think of Christopher Lee, I think we should talk about what we are expecting this album to be like, to sound like. I'm going to kick us off. Having looked at the album art itself, I was absolutely beside myself with anticipation and delight to get stuck into this album because it is so over the top, hectic, all that kind of, is it medieval? How old's Charlemagne? Whichever one it is. Imagery. I was just like, hell yes. The swords. It's kind of a bit campy, the imagery. I was like, yes, this is going to be beautiful, hardcore time. That's what I was expecting.
Tom, yourself, what were you expecting when we first sent this to you?
I thought it was going to be like sort of death metal sort of stuff. I thought it was going to be just like a little bit screamo. I was very excited to hear what his voice was going to sound like melodic. And we'll discuss that a little more later because I have some science behind that. And so I was like, yeah, this is going to be cool. I really like there's a Metallica album called Metallica S&M, which stands for Symphony and Metal, which is, but they're, you know, Metallica have to do leather shit, so they made it that. And it's like, it's actually their songs, metal, with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. And it's incredible and I love it so much. So I was like, this is going to be that.
Sidebar, my old personal trainer used to make me work out to that album, and it is not what that Metallica album was designed for, but it was the right time. Sidebar, done.
I actually was on a similar part thinking, I imagine this would be Megadeth Symphony of Destruction,
yeah,
pitch shifted one octave down. That was entirely what I was expecting. And my first listen for this album, and I told you both when I was doing this, I'm like, okay, here's the album we're going to do. I'm just going for a run. I'm going to pop this on because I think this will be awesome for a run. And I have listened to the second Charlemagne album. I listened to them non-chronologically because us real Charlemagne heads go that way. But I listened to that one, and it was a rocking morning going through it. I was thrilled.
Fuck you, so Colin. Don't put this one on. Don't give me this shit after you know how much I wanted to listen to that. And you've had a great time watching it. I don't think this is really a nice thing to do to me, to bring me into the podcast.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I never meant this to be a nice thing to do to you. This is not the ethos of this project.
That's fair. Okay.
Hey, I wanted you to come on and review the Paris Hilton album with us. But look, if you're really good and eat your vegetables and review this album with us, you can join us for part two, okay, Tom?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's really important as well to note that when this album was announced, in that beautiful video we just heard a snippet from, there was so much kind of fanfare and excitement and anticipation around it, because just for any person in their late 80s to release any album, let alone a metal album, is extremely cool. And then it's Christopher Lee, who already has all this kind of fanfare around him. But I think all the everything I sort of saw about it made it seem like a hell of a lot more hardcore and metal than it is when we listen to it, which we're about to do. So my expectations in reality, very different.
Shall we go into, and I feel this is instructive for the audience as well, Act 1.
Mm.
Oh yeah, it's an album in acts. Act 1, the intro and the King of the Franks.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Einhard, gather near. Come hither to my bedside. The hour that I must retire is drawing ever near. From the exigencies of this life, my deeds laid out before your eyes, and my conscience must be clear.
That was Act 1, King of the Franks by Christopher Lee.
Yo.
So, it's weird that we have to do this, but to discuss plot at this point of the album. So, Christopher Lee has cast himself as an elderly Charlemagne looking back on his life as Charlemagne, as his father calls him to heaven. Tom, can I get your thoughts on this first track?
I think it's very visceral, you know. I see it because he was such an old dude. So I think that was good casting by himself to cast himself as a almost dead fella. But it is a lot very... I looked through, because you know how they have like the artist name next to the song? When you go through, it is funny to see his name everywhere and then other actual musicians... I say other musicians who that's their entire job are like scattered around. It's like, okay, there's a lot of someone who's made themselves literally Charlemagne, like giving them that role.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm thrilled that we're talking about this, but I also am devastated that we've missed out the overture and the Act 1 introduction. I think it's really important that we talk about those.
There are
moments.
So many introductions in this. There's 17 introductions, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard this first introduction before we get into Act 1, so the prologue, if you will, it kind of just made me think of, like, because this is spoken word introduction to kind of set the scene and give us some context about what's going on historically and then build up to meeting Charlemagne, Christopher Lee, it gave me, it was not what I was expecting, but it made me think of, like, the history teacher who's like, okay, guys, I know that it's a little bit boring to learn about the medieval ages, but what if I do it to a tune? And I was like, oh, no. Is that what this album is?
It's funny you should say that, Bridie, because the initial reviews of Charlemagne by MetalTemple.com was, and I'm quoting here, oh, sweet goodness, it was boring. Dead boring. Sir Christopher Lee, I'm so sorry. It's like I'm listening to a BBC show. It's a history book with a soundtrack.
I don't think anyone wants to be mean to Christopher Lee, but it's just unfortunately the way it is. See, like, I really like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And they have, like, a bunch of, like, these metal, like, true metal, like, scary songs. And they have the intros by this voice, and it's like the music, and it's like, I saw it on the hiding place under the quagmire. And it's like, this is sick. It's kind of spooky. It doesn't feel like you need the premise set, but the reason there are so many intros in this, literally like five intros, is because if you launched into just the song, you'd be like, huh, wonder what's going on.
It's very dense.
Yeah.
It's a very bit dense. Like, you know how like the Who's Tommy has like those little songs halfway through, they're like, maybe there's a doctor that can help, like just in case you're lost in the progression of the album.
Yeah.
Although what this one taught me was I know fuck all about history. I was like listening, I was kind of like you, Brady, but I was happy about it. Like, I'm really learning some shit here. Firstly, I had Charlemagne's date of birth about 500 years after when he actually was. I don't know shit about shit. I should have paid attention. If someone had played this in my history class, I'd be a better person now.
You needed a magic school bus situation.
Look,
I can confidently say that I knew very little about Charlemagne going into this, and I know very little coming out of this experience because it is so dense and wordy that I was like, I'm just not going to listen to what? Get to the singing, please. There's some catchy lyrics that I'll remember about shedding the blood of the Saxon men. We'll get to that. But I don't have any historical tidbits.
Brady, I promise you that is the only chorus in the entire album is shed the blood of the Saxon shed. And it's only you remember that because it repeat. There's no repeated chorus in the entire album until this one song where there's one chorus repeated five times, and each time it's repeated seven times in each chorus with the same five words. It's like they were overcompensating for not repeating anything by just shitty. Christopher.
Why, that's the same chorus 35 times.
What a man.
Anyway, let's get back to it. I've jumped ahead.
Well, let's talk about the first introduction of Charlemagne here. So when Christopher Lee first turns up as Charlemagne, which is good casting, also bold casting, when he put this out, justified it as saying he is an ancestor of Charlemagne is his ancestor. So he says, like, the Caradini family is one of the oldest in Europe and traced itself back to the 1st century AD. It's believed to be connected with Emperor Charlemagne. So he does that. But everyone is an ancestor of Charlemagne. Every European is an ancestor of Charlemagne because all Charlemagne did was fight and fuck, and he was good at both. Everyone now who's from Europe has some Charlemagne in them. We're all Charlemaniacs.
That is an insane reason to be like, that's the casting. Imagine if in Hollywood we cast as, like, princes are crowned because we're slightly related to someone who we're allowed to pretend to be.
That would make the series The Crown both better and have a collection of some of the most British heads in history. If you ever look at, like, a third tier royal, there's a real, you know, when they say, like, as a compliment, wow, they broke the mold when they made you. A lot of British, like, royal heads are, oh shit, they broke the mold when they made you.
Hey, also on the note of Christopher Lee telling us all about his ancestry.com.au results, I think this might be a real Christopher Lee thing, because in doing some research about this album, so many stories that I found about Christopher Lee, I have been like, by the way, I knew that guy. By the way, I'm related to her. So his great-grandmother, Marie Carandini, was an opera singer. So clearly there's music in his background. Related to Charlemagne, he is the only Bond villain to have been related to Bond's creator, Ian Fleming, who was a cousin by marriage.
Sorry, can I jump in there to say he claims to be the inspiration of James Bond? Not just related, he is James Bond.
Yeah. He really wants to be a hero, doesn't he? It's the sort of guy that makes a metal album that's not metal and casts himself as Jesus.
So sad. He's a heroic man trapped in the body of a supervillain.
Oh, buddy.
Do you know he actually was the inspiration of the train from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? That was him.
That makes sense.
All right. What's next to listen to?
Well, we should surely move on to Act 2, which, of course, is another intro before the Iron Crown of Lombardy.
My Lord and Holy Father, this I pledge to thee, like my fathers before me, I shall fight for the holy city. My Lord and Holy Father.
That was The Iron Crown of Lombardy by Christopher Lee. Lots of plot going on here. Bridie, can we get your first thoughts on this?
First thoughts? Not enough songs have the word papal in them. I was like, yeah, it's just some great lyricism here. Wrath. I needed to know what Lombard and Lombardy was, first of all. There's been a lot of dictionary.com going on as I've listened to this album.
Can I say, one of the, we don't hear papal a lot. He also, just a lot in this album. uses the term vile race and uses it with a lot of Christopher Lee venom in it. And I'm like, every time I hear it, I'm like, okay, it's a bit Lord of the Rings, it's a bit in character, but I still feel deeply uncomfortable hearing anyone ever go, vile race.
Yeah, unless, it's not ideal.
Yeah, unless you're talking about a very naughty 100 meters.
Ooh.
Yeah. I had a bit of a conniption at this point in the album because I realized that, like, at the sort of audio engineer in me listened, I was like, wow, he's got a deep voice. And he doesn't change where he sings. Like, he stays down there. And I thought, wow. Because as a mixer, you usually record and you leave spots. You have bass kind of down the bottom and you tune, like, you have your frequencies there. You have drums kind of covers an area. Voices, like, between 2 and 5 kilohertz or whatever it is. And it's kind of set. But then when Christopher Lee comes and then refuses to do anything down the bottom, you're like, great, I guess this is going to sound kind of whack.
Well, that's kind of, you know, my ears as well by Act 2, we're a few tracks in now, are sort of ready for a bit more of a change, like melodically, you know, whatever, right? And this is where I think I got a little bit frustrated just purely looking at the music, forgetting the lyrics and the history lessons. I was like, it just... First of all, just adding the occasional bit of, like, harder-sounding guitar doesn't make it metal. Mm. But also, it kind of started to all sort of blend into one. Like, there's no sort of melodic hooks that I could really attach to. So it sort of, I felt like it was washing over me a bit at this point, and that's why I find it a little bit hard to clearly be like, this is what this track's about.
Yeah.
As is my wont often on this program... love this album and think you're both insane. I think this rocks. And the only problem I was having with it at this point was kind of what you're hinting towards. Like, I can see the problem, but again, remember, my first listen, I'm on a run here, and every time it really feels like it's about to kick into something awesome. Like, there's a lot of, like, all right, we're swelling towards something, we're swelling towards something, we're swelling towards a depiction of the Franco-Persian, what's the Franco-Saxon international relations at this stage, and what do the people on the fringes of this talk about? Okay, well, we're swelling again, and oh no, this is a diplomatic treatise between father and son. Okay, well, this is the story of how his brother and he get along. All right, well, I'm sure there is a really kick-ass line coming soon.
Bring the beat in.
I have a theory in this, and that is that Christopher Lee doesn't sing a single melodic note in the entire album.
Amen.
His voice is so low, and the lower a sound is, the more harmonics apply to it, so you can actually get away with not singing a clear note. And because his voice is so low, he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
So he's tricked us.
Yeah, he's tricked us by being such a low voice.
It's like when people wear literally any item of clothing in Newtown, and you're like, oh, well, you're in Newtown, so you must be very fashionable.
Yeah.
And hipster, and it's a trend. And you take that item of clothing and wear it any other place? No. You look ridiculous. They trick us.
The Christopher Lee / Newtown effect.
This was, though, the point that I was most worried. And look, this might not come as a shock, but I was thinking, is this nerd shit? I thought this was going to be cool. And look, a lot of metal gets deep into nerd shit, if we're honest. Like, you often... you know, look, if you're listening to Sabbath, it's actually about Nazis. They're just calling them fairies. But a lot of other metal really gets into, like...
Do you reckon,
like,
Nazis is nerd shit? When you see a Nazi, you're like, what a bunch of nerds.
But this was the point of, like... Because I gave a lot of credit in the lead-up here of, like, we are setting the scene. And look, maybe we're setting the scene, and then it's just going to go hard. Though we are going on a journey. Like, honestly, I'm so... One of my, like, lockdown projects, let's say, is a very, very long book about Napoleon. And it's insanely boring. And I felt like I was just doing the prequel to that. Like, we're getting you up to speed, and we've added a little bit of spice to it, but we haven't added a lot of spice to it.
But then I'm kind of like, if we want... No, let's amp up the nerd shit factor of this thing, because instead of giving us... like, the whole breadth and the whole history lesson, let's just, like, delve deeper into a tiny little bit and just give us some songs about that rather than this whole history, which is too hard to keep track of.
And just as we move into Act 3 here, I should say, for my mental state at this point, I was like, I still was really enjoying the album. I was slightly wavering a bit, and then the Saxons turned up. And as I've mentioned, as a Saxon, I was like, oh, cool, the Saxons turned up. Now, this is another side of how little I know my history, but I'm like, bet these guys are going to get along. They seem like they're going to be good friends. So let's get into Act 3 and see how that goes. That was The Bloody Verdict of Verdun by Christopher Lee.
This is my favourite track on the whole album.
Can I ask a quick question before we get into it? Did anyone catch what he did with the blood of the Saxon men? It went completely over my head.
I think he might have shed it. I would like to share something with you both now. Since I've listened to this song, which, as we talked about before, is the only track on the album that has, like, a lyric that kind of sticks in your head because it is repeated ad nauseum. Because of the way my silly brain works, I've heard this "I shed the blood of Saxon men" line so many times, and for the last 24 hours, I've had this stuck in my head. I shed the blood of the Saxon men. Do you shed the blood of the Saxon men? Well, he sheds the blood of the Saxon, and I can't stop doing it. So this is my abiding memory of this album. I can't stop it. Gosh. Tom, what are your thoughts on this?
Just
slap and track.
It sounds like someone took a metal concept and they're like, great, yeah, that's metal. And then they're like, don't worry, yeah, whatever you do to this, how can you not make this metal? And they found a way.
Okay, so Christopher Lee himself has described the whole album as symphonic metal. And Tom, you are a music genius. Like, where, like, would you, is that fair? Like, it's definitely not like hardcore metal. It's not death metal, obviously. Is symphonic metal fair? Like, what would you call this genre wise?
I'd call it more like, yeah, something symphonic and then maybe a dash of metal. The weird thing is, maybe at the time it did seem like it was metal, but kind of today, now that we have like Hamilton, which is like rap musical sort of stuff, right? And that, I don't think anyone's like, it's like a rap musical, it's like crazy. That seems sort of normal. So listening to that back, and if you've also heard other musicals and stuff, having a guitar with strings and stuff doesn't make you go, holy shit, that's a like a metal song.
It reminded me more of something like War of the Worlds.
Yes.
You know, something more operatic.
It was very much a Lord of the Rings, like it was the backing music to that.
It feels a lot like, though, like it feels like you were alluding to, like a 70s metal album. It feels like something like that. It's quite ambitious for its time. It's like the genre's kind of finding itself. It feels like it's in that area. But this was 2010. Like, we're not going back a very long time for this album.
You know what might help it a little bit is that all the singing of this is operatic, right? And so you can do a lot with the vocals or something. Also, I know we said before that the second one of this was the Judas Priest guy, and Judas Priest is known for going like, and like doing high Axl Rose voices. If you refuse to sing over a middle C, then it's going to not sound like metal.
I mean, it's important. And it's because not only is his voice, you know, as you said before, like it's so low, and but it kind of stays in that spot. So we get very familiar with that sound. Because there is, I think, probably about 15 minutes of narration, spoken word narration from another performer, Christina Lee, in this album.
Is she related to Christina Lee?
a relative, for chance. But the narration, because there's so much of it, and that doesn't change very much in terms of the performance of it either. So there's like a lot of the same sounds happening for a lot of this album.
I also, as I was listening to the narration, just took it as fact that it was Cate Blanchett without ever questioning that's a Cate Blanchett-esque thing to do. I also highly recommend anyone listening, and both of you, to make sure you watch the music video for The Bloody Verdict of Verdun. It looks like a Garth Marenghi piece. Oh, like 100% yes. Looks like something that would be produced and played within the world of Garth Marenghi. Mm. It is, firstly, let's put it this way, young Charlemagne is in a leather jacket and all black gear with what seems to be a wallet chain hanging off his leg.
What's it called? The blood... I'm going to just look up the blood of Verdi.
The Bloody Verdict of Verdun.
It's absolutely stunning. They've got a choir of singers who every so often close their eyes to sing a line and then open their eyes to sing the next line. It's really quite something.
This is so incredible, man.
There's some great green screen effects happening.
Can I say that Christopher Lee also did a heavy metal Christmas double-side single, which you should probably get to at some point.
Oh, I am across jingle hell. Don't you worry.
Tom, I feel if any time you would like to appear on Vanity Project, you're welcome to come back and we'll tackle a new Christopher Lee.
I don't like talking shit. Can I tell you that? I like being positive, and it kind of, I had a bit of an existential crisis because I was like, I can't go on there and lie through my teeth.
But this is why I feel conflicted about this album, because I'm the same, I have to say. You know, I like to say positive things. But for as confusing as I find this album, it's still kind of fun. Like, it's not a brilliant piece of musicality, but it's so kind of just weird and campy, and a nearly 90-year-old just like being a history nerd that I'm like, why not?
Yeah, my trick was enjoying the album and thinking it was fun.
Yeah, that'll happen sometimes.
You are all burdened by the knowledge of what is good music and what isn't. Everything's fun to me.
All right, so we've now got through three acts. Surely three acts is as many acts as we're going to have, right, James?
Let's go into Act 4, the introduction again, and the age of oneness out of diversity.
When all the deeds of my life are played before my eyes, will what I see come as a great surprise? Life short, the hour of death uncertain. I must confess my sins before they draw the final curtain.
That was The Age of Oneness Out of Diversity by Christopher Lee. And I should note, this is the moment where it wasn't possible for me to find lyrics online for the track because even the lyrics pages that have the first three acts gave up.
The oneness out of diversity also sounds like the title of the end of year primary school production. Don't you think?
Yeah.
We've all learnt about being a beautiful world together. Presenting oneness out of diversity.
It sounds like a Zen racist.
This was also, like, Saxon, like, the Battle of Verdun, it takes a long time. Look, it's an important battle. This is
It's interestingly, it's one of the songs that's as long as the battle that actually took place.
We should have done the Six-Day War, boys.
This is such a letdown after it, because you're like, oh my god, we've got into a battle, this rocks. And then like, okay, now back to the administrative side.
Look, I think we should just push right along. And look, I said it before and I was let down, but now that we've had four acts, surely that's as many acts as we're going to have in this album. Right, guys?
Wrong!
Act 5.
I shed the hopes of the Saxon woman. Act 5. Another intro and Starlight.
So yes, we're up to five tracks now that are titled intro in this album. And then Starlight. Thoughts on Starlight?
Muse have let themselves go. There's a bit of Muse gags there for you, everyone. Bit of amusement, everyone. Oh my god.
We're not cutting it out.
Yeah.
This is, look, I'm going to say this. This is where the album started to lose me a little bit. I thought
this
it was waffling on.
This is where it started to... Oh, my God.
You are incredible, James Colley. I am inspired by you.
I was quite getting into it. I'm like, you know, at this point, I'm in it for the story. What happens to Charlemagne? How's it go?
Yeah. I was thinking, like, why Charlemagne? Because is it all the bloodshed is quite metal and the story arc is... But I thought there's so many other bloody sort of dictator-y sort of people that could have been awesome.
Yeah, but if you're not related to them, you're not legally allowed to write an album about them.
That's fair.
Also, he does. You're right. Charlemagne is like an incredible warmonger, like a conqueror, like built an empire that... See, clearly now I've learned a lot about Charlemagne thanks to this album. But... He doesn't really go into, aside from one battle, he doesn't go into a lot of what would be your metal themes for Charlemagne. Like, he could be like, here's how I conquered here. Here's my fight here. Here's it. A lot of this is, Dad, I would like to get into heaven, but I'm worried about the things I've done. Am I good, Papa? Papa, is Jesus happy with me, Papa?
Maybe this should have gone more down the path of Les Mis. I could see it as a stage musical. I truly could. Guys, look. I got our hopes up before with after Act 3. I thought we were done. I was wrong. We had two more acts to go. But the next track is called Finale. So surely that means we've reached the end of the album. Right, guys?
That was Finale by Christopher Lee, which is not the finale.
It's not even the penultimate track. There's still multiple tracks after
that's
the finale.
That's so
what
good.
What is going on?
I like it because at this point I realized that Christopher Lee was playing a big joke on me. And I was like, you know what? I was angry. You fucking got me, son. Let's go. Do what you worst.
I also like, because I was going into this knowing the other album, like that there's going to be a second Charlemagne album. And about this point, you're like, what haven't you covered? What aspect of Charlemagne did you get out the other side of this? You're like, no, look, I've got more to say about Charlemagne. Like, he didn't get it out of his system.
It's a real deep dive. And for that, nothing but respect. I love some thoroughness, you know, in the lyrics. I love some thoroughness exploring a subject.
Is he a history nerdo? Have you guys found that in research or anything?
He seems to be a very much, like, he just seems to be a nerdo. Like, he's a very, like, public intellectual. He likes talking about Charlemagne quite a bit. Like, he does seem to be in this world. And it's not, like, absurd, like... I was trying to be kind to him, but I'm like, he seems to have a penchant for the boring. A lot of things that I would consider very boring, he is very interested in.
It's strange, though. I'm fully into, though, when someone's passionate about something and they talk, if you're at a party and someone's like, oh my goodness, the silver ladybug, I saw one yesterday, they only come out in spring. Oh my lord. You get sucked into that when someone's interested in something for some reason. And it could potentially be that this spans more than three quarters of an hour. That it's this starts to lose you a little bit in that.
Well, you wouldn't talk to that person at the party for 45 minutes. That would be a red flag. Yeah. For a few minutes, you go, wow, your passion's enchanting. That's so lovely. But then you put a time limit on it.
Yeah.
So at this point, I was back in on the album. And the reason why I came back was that...
Because you thought it was almost over?
I was thinking about how a lot of the albums we have is, for example... Robert Downey Jr. sitting at a piano being like, here are six songs about how I feel inside. Christopher Lee cast this shit. Like, this became... Do you know how, you know, as someone who I don't care much for Lord of the Rings, I am quite bored by Lord of the Rings and I don't like watching it, but I do appreciate it as a sheer administrative task. As like, I think the production assistants crushed it. To get that many New Zealanders in one paddock seems very difficult. This is it's an administrative task that he has pulled off very well.
Also have to say that for, you know, as I said before, I think it's just a weird but overall kind of fun time, but it's certainly not an album that I'm going to revisit. Having said that, if Well, I was about to say, if Sir Christopher Lee called me up, first of all, I'd be like, wow, you're a ghost. Very impressive that you can still use a phone.
Yeah. He's calling you from heaven and you have to say like Charlemagne before him if you confess your sins.
I answer my spirit telephone. Mm. If he asked me to come and just be a backup singer on one of these tracks or to be in the choir in that music video, there is no way that I would refuse him. 100%. And, you know, like for everything I've said about him, of course I'd do it.
And that's fucking it, right? I was thinking, how did this get made? And I think what it is that he was like, I love metal. And then someone else is like, okay, oh, great. Christopher Lee loves metal. And then they did like a demo and they were like, this is kind of it's Christopher Lee. And then they kind of kept saying Christopher Lee's name to other people. And then after a while, there was a big room of people who was like, Christopher Lee. And they did it. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
We have a measurable amount of that effect because this album received 20 million listens on his promotional MySpace page.
Whoa, Lee, mother of God.
Wow.
So with that in mind and coming to the end of the album, we are going to leave you with the final track, which is an instrumental version of the Battle of Verdun, so you can imagine your own narration of the bloody verdict of Verdun over the top of this. Was this album a mistake? Bridie Connell, was this album a mistake?
It was weird and wild, and I probably won't listen again, but nah, it wasn't a mistake. He's a nearly 90-year-old man. What a legend. I kind of love it.
Tom, was this album a mistake?
No, 100% not a mistake. I think it's sick that he's followed this and made something that's like what he wants to make, and it's exactly how it goes. I'm still a little bit blown away by 20 million listens on MySpace. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was that... Okay, yeah.
It's also not a statistic we hear enough about today when artists release their songs, you know? James Colley, was this album a mistake?
Fuck no, this album rocked top to bottom. This was great. I'm loving it. I'm learning. It's a wonderful time. And like you were saying, this is a 90-year-old fulfilling their 90th birthday celebration. I'm sure when you see that news story about the 90-year-old jumping out of a plane, actual skydivers are like, she's doing a shit job of that, not actually a good skydive. But they're 90, let them do it.
James, can I ask you just an earnest question? And you have to promise you're going to tell the truth to me. Mm-hmm. Did you take caps before you went for a run this morning?
I ate the caps of the Saxon men.
Yeah, well, sure. Look, yeah, that's normally where we leave the podcast, is on the question, was this album a mistake? But I think that's important, James, what you've just said. And I wanted to finish with one other question, which was, I shed the blood of the Saxon men. Do you share the blood of the Saxon men?
I am the Saxon.
Die, James Colley.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tom Cardy.
That's okay. Bye.
Where can people find you and all of that business that they need to know so they can support your brilliant comedy and music?
You can support me. You go to YouTube and you can type my name in. You can subscribe there. You can go into Instagram or, you know, yeah, those are the two. Oh, I go to Spotify. That's good. I've got this whole album about Hannibal crossing the Alps.
And also, where do we find your MySpace?
My MySpace?
Crucial question.
It's Tom Cardy 69 at myspace.coms.
Thanks so much for joining us for another week of Vanity Project.
We'll see you for the next Charlemagne album, Tom.